Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan and Commander Dan, your host. Today is the 18th day of February, year 2018, and we've entitled today's program, Gideon's 300. Callers will be welcome. Our guest is the co-host of the YouTube channel Downtown White Police, Jay. And, of course, the owner of that channel is Mr. James Lancia. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Please note that it is a people and not a country. These people today are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. We would also like to remind you to please have a pen and pencil handy and a notebook, if you would, for writing and jotting things down as we go through the program. We will have some recommendations of websites and different information to give out to you. So please, pens and pencils handy. We don't want to take too much time repeating information if we can avoid it. Let's see, I got here. Oh, the call-in number for today is area code 605. The number is 472-5300. The ID number for this program is 649-249. And Pastor Eli says here that we should watch our language. I think he's referring to the time James sort of went off the charts with his passion for the state of the white race today in that show. Jay, our guest, will be here in just a second, but typically Jay and I, we kind of keep it in the borders of decor or decorum, decorum, I should say. We'll be careful to take care of that. Okay, Jay, are you with me? Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you just fine, and we do our best to, but I got to say, I can cuss the paint off the wall if I get going. It's bad. It takes a lot of effort for me not to sling cuss words out when we're having conversations, I must admit.
Well, that's okay. We know it happens from time to time, but that one particular program, James just completely went off the charts. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory manner. It just shows a sign of the times. I mean, we all feel it. Believe me, I can't tell you how many times my cell phone has been blown up by the men of Jacob in this current time, especially in the last 3 to 4 months. I mean, things are heating up very, very quickly. I do want folks to know, too, here real quick, I forgot to mention, I will monitor the chat room at eurofolkradio.com, but I'm not going to monitor the email and Skype due to hardware issues and bandwidth and things such as that. So please bear with me. Also, it detracts from, it takes away my attention. And believe me, I got enough things to monitor. I don't need to monitor more stuff. So again, I will, if you've got something you want to put in here, but you do not want to call in, please type it into the chat window here at eurofolkradio.com. And I will glance over that way from time to time and check it out. Also, from time to time, if people could let us know if the sound quality is good, bad, low, garbled, I mean, just give us a clue as to how things are coming along. That way I can make adjustments to the board and we can go from there. But anyway, the main reason we picked Gideon's 300 is because of the times we live in. Jay, I believe anyway, the word Gideon, by the way, is Aramaic or ancient Hebrew. It means a feller, which is their term for a warrior, because warriors cut people down with swords. So the very name Gideon is the meaning of it is a warrior. And so Rhadamanthine warriors are what we should be all about these days. Gideon's 300 is much like the movie about the Spartan 300. I do have to remind listeners, though, they get the story sort of right and sort of wrong. The Spartans did not hold off hundreds of thousands of Persians by themselves. There were 7,000 Greek hoplite infantry that they commanded. So the Spartan 300 were the leaders, much as in this day and age, the Gideon 300 will be the awakened remnant of Yahweh. We will be the sub-commanders beneath Yahshua. And we have to remember our position. So we are the sub-commanders, but we'll have 7,000, just as he told the prophet when he cried out and said, I'm the only one. I believe it was Elijah, but I can't remember for sure. And he cried out from the cave he was hiding in, why am I the only one? And Yahweh said, shut up. I got 7,000 just like you. So you see the numbers are intermingled amongst our race all through our history. So 7,000 hoplites with the 300 in the days of the Spartans when they held off the masses of hordes trying to destroy all of Greece, ancient Greece, or Hellene. They called themselves Hellenes, not Greeks, the same Hellene as Helen of Troy. And so today, Gideon 300, of whom we shall be part of, we will have far more to our numbers than that. But the Gideon 300 are the leaders. That's who I'm addressing this message to today. And the story can be found in Judges chapters 6 and 7, which is quite interesting if you just read those two short chapters of what was happening to the Israelites, the white race, then, and compare it to what's happening to us today. And we certainly need a Gideon force and leaders to come out and lead us out of this mess, don't we, Jay?
Yeah, I have to say so. It's, you know, I know you said something before I go into my rant about QAnon and the memo that everybody hyped up to death and then they released. Didn't you say there was some new post by him you were interested in mentioning or...
Well, late last night, there was a post to our brothers and sisters over in the United Kingdom, and he actually, whoever Q is, had posted a picture of a boulevard. Apparently, it's pretty well known because people identified it fairly quickly. I don't remember which one it was, but you can go to the Q posts. They're on the internet, and you can see the picture of that boulevard, and it warned that there's a planned... By the cabal, there's a planned event, another staged event, much like what happened down here in Florida. That's already being shredded by the researchers. All of the cabal symbols and symbolisms associated with the school, the woman that the school's named after. She was famous for being a protester against the draining of the swamp. Parkland is the same name as the hospital that John F. Kennedy was taken to after they assassinated him and stopped him from shutting down the CIA. The CIA is one of the greatest enemies of the United States there is. That's all there is to it. We refer to it as clowns in America, but it's dangerous. From the beginning of it, with Alan Dulles and his brother John Foster Dulles, two Jewish crypto-Jews within our government. So from the very foundation, the CIA's whole job was to further the financial interests of the Jews in America. It wasn't for the protection of America. And you can verify that with, hold on a minute. Somehow Jay got dropped and he'll have to call back in. But, anyway, you can verify that by going back and reading the book called The Brothers by, oh gosh, I can't think of his name right now. But just look it up on the internet. It's available for sale. The Brothers, The Secret World War of John Foster and Alan Dulles. So, you know, all you have to do is look that up and read it.
There is one other participant in the conference.
Okay, Jay, we got you back, brother.
Yeah, I lost you there. Last thing I heard you say is you were mentioning the photograph that he posted somewhere in England.
Yeah, on the Q post, they have a picture of the boulevard that they believe that this staged event is going to take place. I was telling the audience about the book called The Brothers, The Secret World War of John Foster and Alan Dulles. two despicably criminal individuals in this country, especially Alan Dulles. He was just a despicable individual. In fact, Alan Dulles was hated by John F. Kennedy, and yet when John F. Kennedy was assassinated by Dulles and the CIA, because John F. Kennedy was going to shut it down, guess who was put on the Warren Commission to investigate it? Alan Dulles. So, and you wonder why the Warren Commission didn't find any wrongdoing. You know, Jay, we've reached that point in history where we got to stop pussyfooting around, and we got to call out who the criminal element really is in this world, not just here in the United States. I mean, it's terrible here, granted, but it's all over the world. And that criminal element is the same criminal element, the Christ killers 2,000 years ago, who orchestrated the murder of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. They're here doing the same thing to his sons and daughters today. The same criminals. They are the number one thing that should be on the minds of anybody who wants to solve the world's problems. We've got to deal with the Jewish question. Would you agree or disagree?
100%. And they're Shabbos goys that they orchestrate like puppets. I guess we would call them white traitors. You know, they're some of the worst that, you know, we've got to deal with this problem. And we've got to stop having false hope in the idea that somebody's going to fix it for us. We want these people arrested. We have to go and do it ourselves. Now, I'm not advocating anybody, I'm not trying to incite things here, but I'm just saying we need to just come to terms with that. If we can come to terms with that and realize in our mind that, yeah, there is no core in the CIA or the Justice Department or the FBI or CIA or anywhere else that's going to, like, all of a sudden have a revelation and fight against their bosses. That's not going to happen. And the idea of a military coup, there are military spread thin all over the world. Obama purged any of the generals that he thought might be willing to buck the system, and they're out and put his own appointees in. And besides, a military coup just leads to more coups. That, you know, throughout history, military coups can usually be a problem. It's better off if the people do it than the military. And it's, you know, we've got to stop having faith in it. That's where I get mad at guys like QAnon and whatnot, is because it gives people this false hope. It's kind of like the Christians with the rapture. Or, you know, or these Zionist Christians that are well aware of the fact that they're helping the synagogue of Satan, but in their mind, that'll hurry up and bring the end times. They're trying to speed the end times up. They're like, okay, well, we'll keep funneling money into the Jews, let them build a temple, let them bring the Antichrist back, and yeah, we'll hurry up and get to the 1,000 years of peace, which to me is just so sick. And it's this idea that somebody's got to step in and help us. Well, you know, we got to help ourselves. If we want these people arrested, we have to do it. The people have to do it. Now, like I said, I'm not telling anybody to do anything, but everybody needs to come to that mindset. Everybody needs to realize that and stop focusing on all these false hopes and just decide that, yep, if we want it fixed, we have to do it. Then we can start having real conversations about how we can get into a position to do some things like that. Because right now, I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, you're 100% right. We keep looking for other messiahs, which means anointed or saviors. And, you know, a lot of people got into that. They started following Trump almost like a cult, as if he was a messiah. And so he's a false messiah, because there are no mortal men that are going to be your messiah till Shiloh come. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have leaders amongst our people. It doesn't mean that we can't, as groups, elect leaders amongst us and prepare for self-defense and to take our country back. That's not what it's saying. But the Messiah is, there's only one. And to think and put all of our faith and hope into a mortal man is a basically idol worship, okay? And much as in Judges chapter 6, when it talks about what were the Israelites doing, that judgment through the Midianites and the Amalekites against them, stealing their food, their sustenance. Look what we have happening in our country today. We've got aliens coming in. Almost all of them are on welfare. Almost all of them are getting subsistence. It's no different than the locust talked about in the Old Testament. The locust was sent into the children of Israel. And that's us, the white race. It's not the Jews. Where's the locust coming in and sucking anything out of that bastard nation in Palestine? If anything, they're sucking the blood out of every other nation. Look how many billions of dollars we give them. If you counted how much money that is for every man, woman, and child in It's a Lie, it's like $32,000. Wouldn't you like to have every man, woman, and child in your family get a check for $32,000 in straight out aid? No taxes, no deductions. That doesn't even count military aid. That doesn't count equipment and all the other garbage we give that little bastard nation. So there's no Old Testament proof that they're Israel. But if you look at the white race nations today, they're being flooded by these aliens, and they are eating out the sustenance of our people, much as it was in Judges chapter 6 that was happened to Jacob Israel when Yahweh chose Gideon, a warrior, to rise up the 300, those special 300 men, not women, not children, not transgender, not queers. No. Men who know what men are and how to behave as men. He rose up those 300, and those 300 destroyed the Midianites, who greatly outnumbered them. And here's the part of the story, Jay, that I love. And people need to go back and read it if they don't believe what I'm saying. Gideon pulled this off and did not lose a single man of his 300. And we need to remember that. Over to you, Jay.
Yeah, you know, and we've got to be able to get together. I know, you know, a lot of guys in the white pro-white movement in the 90s figured out, well, it's too dangerous for everybody to get together, so let's all split off and do this lone wolf thing. Well, this lone wolf thing has turned into a bunch of people behind their keyboards being stochastic terrorists, and it's sad. And it's, you know, I know it's dangerous, but we've got to get together. And I'm going to tell you, everybody, for an example of how scared the enemy is of us getting together as groups, if you look at what happened with Trump, you know, yeah, it was disguised as, you know, these rallies that he was doing. But if you look, these are white people. There were white nationalists showing up to all these Trump rallies. And that scared the hell out of the Jews. It scared the hell out of them. And how I could tell it scared the hell out of them is Charlottesville was to smack everybody back down. Charlottesville, you know, we've talked about it before, and this is where you've got to watch out. The false prophets of our day, their job is not necessarily to lead you somewhere that's going to get you arrested or in trouble. Their job is to waste your time. Their job is to make you have faith in things that have never worked before and have always just rode to nowhere. It's kind of like they want you wandering around in the desert. They do not want you actually making a difference, and to make a difference and change, you have to get together as a group. Now, they let white people get together as groups throughout Trump getting elected, but then they had to stop that stuff, and that is what Charlottesville was, because the end result of Charlottesville, take everything out of it, it was to make your average white person, you know, you're always going to have those guys that, you know, your National Socialist guys, your guys that, you know, are brave enough to get out there and protest and everything. But what they've always tried to get and what we really need is the average white citizen. People listening to this, people that are, you know, aware of there's a problem, aware of the racial truth, kind of, but they're just too scared to get out and get together with others and meet. And that's what Charlottesville did, is it smacked everybody down and made them go, well, forget that. I'm not showing up anything. I mean, and that's what they're scared of. And we've got to break away from that. Harold Covington has recently come around. He said that, yeah, party professionalism is the way to go. We can't have everybody sitting around all by themselves, because that's right. You know, he said it too, that what we've become is stochastic terrorists. Look that up, everybody. It's what a lot of us are doing. And it's sad. And it's because we're too afraid to get together as a group. Well, you know what? We've got to bypass the fear. You know, what do you say to those 300 men? You know, I'm sure they could have gotten in trouble. They took a risk on the line, but we've got to start doing it. I don't care if you guys just get together in a bar, four or five of you, and hang out and tell racial jokes. That's better than what we're doing now with everybody on their own, on their computers, hiding behind these avatars and anonymity. I know, I'm not saying come out and get yourself into trouble, but I am saying you got to take a risk. You got to put something on the line. You know, you can't You got to ante something onto the table. If you want to make a difference, we want to stop the enemy, we've got to put something on the table. And we have most of the power. All it's going to take is a small number of us considered compared to the population of the United States, and we can make a huge difference. We can cause them all kinds of problems, headaches, and trouble. But, you know, we've got to at least get together and meet. It's important you know who in your town, which one of your neighbors thinks like you do. You got to meet with these people, and you've got to get together with them. It's the only way we're going to move forward.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, amen to that. Well, here again, you know, just like Gideon, Gideon was fearful. You know, where did Yahweh find Gideon? He was hiding in a wine press. You know, but here again, it shows what? It shows cunning. It says, be as wise as the serpent, but innocent of the dove. So he knew that the Jew, Midianites, and the Jew Amalekites were coming in to steal his land, his property, and even the food from their tables. So Gideon decided, well, I'm just going to hide in a wine press. They're not going to look for wheat in a wine press. And that's where Yahweh found him. So it's indicative of our people to remember we have a right to fight back. Ask Yahweh for the tools and the discernment on what way can you constructively fight the Jew, because he is the world's nemesis. The bane of all civilization is the Jew. It's always been that way. Martin Luther talked about it. The protocols of learned elders of Zion spell it out. Jesus Christ in John chapter 8 spelled it out. Joe Cortina, the former Special Forces commander, spells that out in his 3-volume book. I mean, so we've got plenty of evidence that these creatures are eating out the sustenance of all mankind. And it's time to spell out and step forward in whatever way Yahweh reveals to you to fight the enemy. And right now, one of the biggest things is telling the truth. You know, Bill Holter in January of 2017, Bill Holter announced on an interview that 2017 would be the year of the truth bomb. And Bill Holter was right. And I like listening to him. He's got a lot of common sense, a lot of rational thinking. Well, just this past January, he said 2018 will be the year that the truth matters. And Jay, I'm going to tell you something. That was monumental. If you think about it in simplistic terms, if our people want to wake up from this nightmare and actually be able to accomplish anything, they have to obtain and have that same mindset that the truth matters. Because up till now, let's face it, it hasn't. The Jewish-controlled media would flash pictures up, and commentators are even talking about some of these pictures they're showing relating to the Florida shooting and other shootings and all that. Those are pictures from other events at other times. So the media has no problem lying through their teeth. And the media today, the mainstream media, is a mouthpiece for the intelligence agencies of the United States government, the beast. All right? Just remember that. Large central government is always referred to as a beast in the scriptures. And there's a reason for that, because just like a wild beast, once they're created, all they care about is staying alive and staying in power. And they will literally kill and devour anything that threatens their power. And the United States government and the Israeli government are two of the worst culprits of this beast mentality that were ever created. And the United States government is that way because the United States government today is almost completely controlled by the same Zionist, communist, Khazar Jews that control Tel Aviv East over there in that litter box called It's a Lie. Well, Tel Aviv West is called Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, because the same criminals that control Tel Aviv West control Tel Aviv West and East, same people. So the United States government is no longer a government of we the people who founded this country, meaning the white race, the white Christian settlers who came here and founded this country. We are on the bottom of the list as far as they're concerned. Every other race, every other religion, every other ideology gets top billing with the Jew in Washington as long as they are anti-white, anti-Christian. And you're right. We got to take a stand. We have to put away the fear. Put away the spirit of fear. Exactly as scripture says, put away the fear and put on the whole armor. The whole armor spoken of in the New Testament of Yahweh God. And truth is one of our weapons. And that's why I like what Bill Holter said. When the truth matters, people are going to wake up. And they are waking up, Jay. I'm seeing evidence of that everywhere. And you know what's really amazing? Here's what the people at Eurofolk Radio ought to enjoy. I can't tell you how many talk shows I'm listening to now, and they are using the same phraseology and rational explanations of things that you hear hosts here on Eurofolk Radio. I mean, Eurofolk Radio folks have been saying this for many, many months, even years. But now we're hearing the exact same things talked about by even secular and non-religious channels that are just simply sick of the problem and talking about solutions. They're talking about hanging the traitors. They're talking about getting back to biblical law. We're getting back to smaller government and smaller banking, local banking, public banking. Get rid of these Zionist-controlled central banks. They're behind all of the criminality going on. So the people are waking up, and that's why Satan's kids are panicking, Jay.
Yeah. They are, and that is why they push so much of this false hope. Anything to get you to sit down. Anything they can tell you that'll make you go, well, if I sit down and wait for tomorrow, maybe this'll happen, and that'll cause a destabilization in the system, and then I can fight back while still maintaining my anonymity and not really have to worry about getting in any trouble. That's what these QAnon and all these guys with these memos. I mean, God, that memo came out and yeah, it did implicate a lot of guys, a lot of friggin' stuff that, you know, they should be brought up on charges in, but they're not gonna bring each other up on charges because they're the same mafia family. Why would the mafia arrest each other and throw each other in prison? It's not gonna happen. But they constantly push this false hope. And
you mentioned an important thing with what they control. You know, guys, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about it on different shows, and I would love to get into it, but gun control is the biggest hoax running around out there. And I'm not saying there's not Democrats that want to take your guns, but the big ones at the top, they own stock in gun companies, and they understand that when they run out and act like they're going to take guns, what do? We run out and buy guns. Well, who makes money from that? Gun manufacturers and gun industry people. And find out who controls those companies. Find out who owns those companies. You're going to find some shocking stuff that gun companies don't compete in America. And for anybody, I'll give to people some hints. Look into Cerberus and something called London of Virginia. And that rabbit hole will quickly turn into an abyssal trench if you start looking into it. It'll start shocking you. And the final thing is, you know, with the idea, well, they'll come take their guns. They're never going to come take their guns, just like they're never going to purposely crash the economic system. They're never going to purposely destabilize their own system. That's never happened in history. They're in charge. They have the banks, they have the law enforcement, and they have the prisons and the courts. And that's how you control white people. Prisons, courts, and law enforcement, and you know, you can cut us down on money pretty hard, and we'll tolerate a lot of crap. But as long as you can control the prison, the courts, and the law enforcement, because that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of modern day slavery. Modern day slavery is having everything taken from you and you thrown into prison, you know, and into some hole at like Victorville out in Colorado. You know, and that's what they do with a lot of white nationalists, because they always are looking to make examples. Poor Bill White still sitting in prison off one of the most ridiculous charges I've ever heard in my life. And it's not about liking Bill White or not. I'm just saying the guy is a pro-white guy and he's in prison right now for, look it up. It is ridiculous what that guy's in prison for. They're never going to destabilize their own system, but they're going to constantly tease you with the idea that, oh yeah, any day now this might happen or that might happen. It'll destabilize the system because they are in a panic, just like Pastor Dan said. They're scared out of their mind because they're out of options. Their only hope is that this generation will continue to sit around on its butt until it's too old to fight back, and then the generations coming up they figure, well, we'll have enough people and we won't have to deal with them. We can get them under control like they keep the whites in South Africa under control. That's what they're thinking, and their whole premise is just getting you to sit around and wait. A lot of these end times prophecy channels, that's what it does. It makes people sit down and wait until tomorrow.
Yeah,
and that's their goal. That's their plan.
That's the whole idea behind the nonsense of the rapture theory. You know, I was talking about that with somebody here the other day, and you know, there's a book, I can't remember what the name of it is, but it talks about the woman that had the vision while she was ill. She had a high fever and had a vision and claims that we were raptured up, and two gentlemen or two individuals, probably turned out to be Jews, but there were two individuals that listened to her story, and they turned it into this, what we know today as the rapture theory. Well, that was back in the 1800s. So for thousands of years, our people never believed in something as stupid is that just as things get really bad, I'm going to take my people out of this earth. Okay, wait a minute. What about I'll bring my kingdom in through violence but the hand of my people? Oh, okay, throw that out. What happened to you are my battle axe and weapons of war, and with you I will break kingdoms and people? Okay, throw that out. What about Psalm 149, the honor of the saints to implement his judgments against the heathen? Oh, okay, throw that out. So you got verse after verse after verse that you got to throw away to believe that Yahweh's going to take his special people out of this world just as Satan gets to his pinnacle of power, which is the Jew, of course. And all of a sudden, everything's just going to be great. Yahweh will come down and wipe them out, clean up everything. It's, you know, you soiled your diaper, white man. And Yahweh's going to come down and change it for you because you don't have enough sense to change your own diaper. That's basically what it's saying. You've shit in the nest that Yahweh put here for us, and now you're too stupid, too lazy, too cowardly to clean up the mess you created, which is exactly what Judges 6 and 7 in the story of Gideon is all about. Yahweh said, you're going to lead my people, Gideon. You're going to become a warrior. Get out of that damn wine press and take care of the Midianite problem. These people come in, they steal, they rob, they rape, they carry you off your children, your wives, your food, your sustenance, burn your villages down, and you're going to sit in a wine press instead of picking up a sword. Okay, what's that verse in the Bible say? Oh, yeah. He who withholds his sword from bloodshed is cursed. Is the white man cursed today? Take a look around. Tell me that isn't a cursing. Go read Deuteronomy 28 and 29, the blessings and the cursings, and tell me which curse we do not have happening to the white race today. Tell me, folks, come on, pick up your damn Bibles, blow the dust off that thing because you don't ever read it, and look up Deuteronomy 28 and 29, and you tell me which of the curses in there is not on our heads right now. You Bible-believing, hypocritical, pussified white men going to church with your women, pretending to love what you hear and shining, smiling faces and shaking hands and getting along with the Judeo-Christian Baal worship. You're sickening. You sicken me. That's why I don't ever darken the doorstep of a church today, because they are sickening. The hypocrisy, the effeminism, the God just loves everybody, you know. Oh, he just adores the sick and the lame and the race mixers and the transgenders and the queers, because God is just all love, Jay. He just loves everybody. So put your violence to the side and your hypocritical attitude that, you know, there's anything more than one race. Because, after all, Jay, we're just all part of the human race. I mean, is that not, doesn't that want to make you throw up? Please.
Oh, God. It's as bad as the ones that are like, just sit around and wait. God's going to come back and fix everything. Just have faith. Do nothing else but have faith. And I'm like, there's absolutely nothing, even in the New Testament. God expects you to do things. He expects you to do things. There's nothing I've seen anywhere that says in the Bible that it's okay to sit on your butt and wait. It's always about get up. When you're sitting around waiting, that's when people are getting into trouble. That's when people are getting into trouble. You know, do things to fight the evil, to fight the enemy that we see all around us. And we see it everywhere, and we're totally capable of it. And that's the thing that just gets me is We're white. We have pulled amazing things out of our butts throughout history constantly. And usually we're outnumbered. I mean, my God, Cortez, Spanish white guy, took down the entire Aztec army. I think they were at least 10,000 man strong. And okay, yeah, he got other tribes to fight and work with him, but that's just a white thing. Yeah, he used the other tribes there to go after the Aztecs, but still with just him and about 300 to 400 other white guys, other conquistadors, they were able to take down the entire Aztec army. Just obliterated it. Destroyed it.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure part of that was the fact that Montezuma and the Aztecs were being belligerent to the other people. Just like the Jews. The Jews have risen to power, and now their arrogance and their chutzpah is causing them to be absolutely diabolical in their crushing of everything non-Jewish. Okay? It's typical. Okay? What's it say about power? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And they've reached that point. They are absolutely corrupt. There is not one shred of truth, integrity, and dignity in that group of people. So Montezuma, I'm sure, and the Aztecs lorded over the other tribes in the neighboring area. And so Cortez probably didn't have much trouble in getting an army to resist them. And I'll go this far, Jay. If a modern day commander would stand up, I'll bet you we'd have allies come to our side. Just like James David Manning, the black preacher in Harlem, has said, if the white man will finally get off his ass and take back America, we'll all be better off. I'm going to pray for it, and I volunteer to help if they'll let me. Does that sound like the woman in the book of Matthew? Yeah, I'm a dog. But don't dogs deserve crumbs from their master's table? That's exactly what that is being paraphrased as. So Pastor Manning is an example of the fact that we have allies. I've got a dear friend here in South Florida who's originally from Colombia. I'm going to tell you something. This guy is ready to fight. This guy is ready to lay his life down to restore Christian constitutional America. Okay, is he an Israelite? No. But where in the Bible does it say we can't have friends? Last time I checked, it says those who bless Abraham. Now, is it a blessing to Abraham if somebody volunteers to fight to bring back law and order and justice to America? Yeah, according to my interpretation, it is. And like I said, I know personal people down here whose heritage is not Israelite, but they do know the difference between justice and injustice. And they want to fix it. Jay, Go ahead, Jay.
I was just going to say, if anybody wants to get that warm feeling that we're not alone out there, take a minute and just try to look up what nations in the world does not like Israel. You know, awake to the Jew question in itself is a little much, but just try to look around what countries that are not Arab. Don't even look anywhere in that section of the world. Just look for countries that really don't like Israel or Israeli types like George Soros and stuff. And you're going to find there's a lot of nations that have a lot of people in charge of them that hate Israel, that can't stand that country and what it's been doing, and they're not Arab. I'm pretty sure, I want to say it's Malaysia. The king of Malaysia blamed George Soros for trying to crash his economy. I'm pretty sure they still have an active warrant for that guy in that country if he ever showed up there again. And I'm saying that those are the kind of people that inevitably are going to back up the first pro-white, whether it's the Northwest Front, the Free State of Florida, whatever white nation shows up first, whatever group of white people get together and, you know, separate from the corrupt America and say, we're going to be a white country on our own. There are some people out there that are going to try to help us as much as they can, because they know for a fact the only way they're going to get the nail of Israel out of their butts is if a white nation in America wins over the rest of America, takes it over, and stops funding Israel. As soon as America stops backing up Israel, Israel's in deep trouble. Because everybody is sick of their crap. Everybody's sick of their crap. And we're the only thing standing in the way of the rest of the world going at them. And I'm not talking about a tax or anything, but just cutting them off. Just no more, you know, bringing them to heel.
You know what it's like in natural health? There's a good analogy for what you just said in the world of natural health. And the truth stands on its own. It takes the force of government to promote a lie. So the truth about natural health is the fact that cancer is naturally occurring, all right? It doesn't happen by accident. There's always a cause effect, a causal effect. And the Jew is the same thing as a cancer, okay? The Jews come in, and as long as the white race that is in the host country, and we'll say the United States as an example, as long as we remain true to Yahweh and we were churchgoers and moral people and money was not the end of all things, the Jew didn't have much power, because even my grandparents told me when I was a little boy that the people in the small town I grew up in did not trust Jews. They just knew that you can't trust them. So it's only been a relatively recent thing. So the body politic in the United States had a cancer invade it. Long time ago, they used money and corruption, blackmail, and assassination. They always use those as their MO. So they worked their way in, but they didn't have a lot of power, so they used their control of the money and the media to bring down the morals of the country. At the same time, they made an assault against the seminaries. They put forth this notion that a preacher has to have a seminary degree. Jay, I can't think of anything more diabolical than that. Let me see. Where is the Bible verse that says that those called of Yahweh attended 4 years of seminary before they could preach to his sheep? Oh, wait a minute, Jay. There is no verse. So there's no scriptural backing for the idea of a seminary education, which means that you come through 4 years of indoctrination. And let's see, who would have influence over the seminaries and what they teach? Could it be the Soros types? Yeah, the Soros types with their millions and millions of ill-gotten gain and now computer-generated out of thin air money. They dump it on these schools, and they'll do whatever they're told to do. And so they're told to preach, you know, don't preach this racial thing. Don't preach anything about the white European settlers who came here. Don't be preaching anything bad about Jews. Okay, we killed Christ, but let's get over it. Let's move on. Even though Sarah Silverman, that bitch Jew so-called comedian, though she's she's about as funny as a fart in church, you know, she claims that, I'm glad that we killed Christ, and if he comes back, I'd be happy to do it again. She said that in a public so-called comedian skit that she did. So she's at least honest. I give her credit for that. She's at least an honest Jew in the fact that she hates Christ, hates Christians, hates whites, and would love to see us destroyed. Okay, Sarah, I give you one for that. Just like Bernie Sanders, when he excoriated that white guy running for office or running for a deputyship in Congress, and he was part of the committee that was questioning him for confirmation. And it was quite apparent that the Jew, Bernie Sanders, detests Christians, because this guy made a statement based on a Bible verse, and Bernie Sanders went apoplectic in the Congress, open Congress, on tape. You can see it. You could see the angst. You could see. Oh, you could see the smoke and the venom coming out of this guy in the eyes. You know, the eyes are the windows of the soul. Bernie Sanders is a devil. Black eyes. Look at those black eyes as he was denouncing this young white man for his Christian faith. Denouncing it. He even said, you're not fit for public office. Well, let's see, Bernie. You pray the Kol Nidre every year that says that you can lie under oath. It's part of your religion. You believe in the Talmud, which is one of the most despicable and sick and demented books ever created. You follow the rabbis, who are demented mouthpieces that claim that they're more knowledgeable of right and wrong than God himself. Bernie, but you think you're fit? You hate Christ and you hate Christians and you hate white people, but you're fit? Come on, at least these two Jews are honest. They hate us. At least they come out in public and show their hatred. It's the white race that needs to wake the hell up. Now, I wanted to ask you, Jay, as we're on the topic of Gideon and his 300, to see if that applies here. if you could have it any way you wanted right now, and this is being theoretical, of course, but if you could bring about anything that you wanted right now, let's say an angel of Yahweh came down to you like he did Gideon, and he had a conversation and said you could have it any way you want to bring about the restoration of the United States, have you ever thought about what steps you would take?
I know exactly what I would ask for.
Bring it on.
Am I able to ask him for something? Am I able to ask him for a favor?
Well, did not Gideon ask that he throw the fleece down and Yahweh do it 3 days in a row, prove that it was actually Yahweh talking to him? So obviously you can have a conversation with the Father and his angels, and you can even wrestle with them as Jacob did. So, yeah, you can ask him a question.
Well, if I could ask for anything, you know, trust me, there's a lot of stuff I'd like to have, but one thing I think that would help a lot is something like, would you do me a favor and ask Jesus or Yahweh to separate the clouds, stick his head through, and yell upon all the white Christians on earth and let them know that, hey, I'm not planning to have the end times for another 1,000 years, so if you want to live in a communist-run, homosexual-ridden hellhole until then, that's up to you. It sounds kind of dumb, but that would at least wake the damn rest of the Christians up and make them go, oh. Because there's so many of them that are sitting around, you know, praying and to cause this to happen, or something to that effect, to wake up all these Christians that are either encouraging the end times to show up or hoping or convinced that it's going to show up anytime, so that negates their necessity to have to fight now for anything, because, well, God's going to show up and fix it. So, yeah, if I could ask for a favor, that would be one thing I'd ask for. Please let all the rest of the Christians know that, I don't know, it's either it's going to be a while, or the truth of the Bible, kind of like things you said, that, you know, maybe freaking, yeah, if you want me to show up, work for it. Show me that it's willing to show up. If not, you can just keep wallowing in the friggin' hell that you created for yourself until I see some white people get together and fight. That would probably be what I'd ask for. I'm happy to work my ass off to do the rest, but if I get all the white people to wake up and realize what's going on, then this might be a lot easier than we think.
Yep. Now, let's say it wouldn't matter if he did it or didn't do it. But let's say he did do it. Okay, there was a flash of lightning and a voice to every believer. Now, you got to remember, a lot of people aren't believers. They pretend to be believers. They go to church. They carry Bibles. They'll say they even know Bible verses, just like that idiot on television that says he has 10,000 Bible verses memorized, and yet he's a complete moron when it comes to what those verses mean. So just being able to quote Bible verses doesn't make you any closer to the Father. But let's remember that. Okay, now, so if one father, if he did do that, he's only gonna reach the people that already love him and are awake anyway. So he's already woke those people up. But he's looked at you. You're down in the wine press and you're hiding your wheat from the Jews who come in and steal it every harvest season. And he said, all right, Jay, I want you to lead my people in a great struggle to take these bastards and throw them the hell out of our countries. What would you do? What would you do in a perfect world where Yahweh has given you the power to accomplish the things that you want to do? In other words, he's put a force field around you. The enemy can't touch you. They can't say anything bad about you. They can't hurt you. You are a chosen or anointed servant of Yahweh. Okay, so you have that protection. What kind of things would you do to get this rolling?
Wow. I can think of some individuals that probably need to be strung up from trees. And I'm talking not just, I mean, or at least need to be removed from office. So, you know, maybe the first thing I'll do is go after every one of those senators within my own state that went out and voted for the rule that says anybody that says anything bad about Israel or supports the boycott Israel movement is committing a crime and therefore cannot be associated with any type of business government within that state. To me, that was just a blatantly treasonous act, and I don't know, I'm just pulling off the top of my head, but
that at least would get a lot of publicity if you went and drug those guys out of their offices, threw them in a prison cell. That would at least would get a lot of publicity. And if I've got a shield around me, all it would take is white people to see a white person getting victories, and the rest would fall into place. The rest would stand up and be ready to fight, because that's all white people need is some victories. And they'll get their heart back. They'll get that spark, that light that's in every one of them. It'll come back. I know it's there. They just need to see a white guy achieving some victories, and they'll fight. I think that, they'll come.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, I sort of agree with that to an extent. Our topic today is Gideon and his 300, and I think that our Gideon, whoever it is, would get 300 men around him. And it may not be exactly that number, but it's the idea. A body of Radamanthine individuals, untouchables. Eliot Ness called his men untouchables. In other words, they were Radamanthine. You could not get to them. You couldn't bribe them. You couldn't threaten them. And look what, this is a lot of it's Hollywood, but there were guys that actually helped clean up Chicago that were called the untouchables. So this would be a biblical case to where they really are untouchable. They really are Radamanthine men. So our Gideon would have to surround himself with that kind of men. And I believe that if we did that and we performed, let's say in a county in Florida, the free state of Florida, we have a constitutional sheriff, whether we have to elect him or there's one already there. We have a constitutional sheriff, and we implement what our friend Chuck up in the panhandle talks about, the deputize him plan, where every able-bodied Christian man within the county is a deputy to the sheriff. He's made a deputy. And that body of men then become his army, because nothing will clean up America except a military force. Okay, I hope everybody understands that. There is no political solution in America. It's gone. The Jews learned a long time ago, just like Rothschild said, I care not who makes the laws of a land as long as I control the issue and generation of currency and money. As long as I control currency and money, I don't give a shit what you do. Excuse my French. So, and it proved to be true here in America. He controlled the issuance of our currency and money against the Constitution. Everybody that supports the current central banking system is a traitor to the United States, their oath of office, and the Constitution. They could be taken out and shot. All right? That's treason. Okay? You take an oath of office. If you break the oath of office, that's treason. Everybody that supports a central Jewish bank is a traitor. Every Jew in office has committed treason when they pray the Kol Nidre prayer. That's treason. Every Jew that has supported the eradication of the Christian faith of our land is treason. Every Jew who supports It's a Lie, a separate nation other than the United States, dual citizenship, is treason. Every one of those things are acts of treason. Now, the current political process cannot make it right, because justice will never come from a corrupt system that the Jews knew they could take over. You look at the law schools. I had a relative of mine went to Harvard for a speech, and they called me up, and this was many years ago, and they said, wow, because they were not Jew savvy. And they said, wow, do you know how many Jews are here? And I said, back then I didn't know, so I just was asked curiosity. I said, no, how many? He says, man, it must be like 50% of the students here are Jews. Well, that's because they understood. If you take over the courts, if you take over the positions of those who write the pieces of paper we call law, you can deceive the white man into doing and believing almost anything. Because I've had even white relatives of mine say, oh, it's the law. It's the law. Well, the law, if it goes against God's law, is no law at all. William Blackstone said that. The United States Supreme Court has said it numerous times in years gone by. So we have an enemy that's infiltrated us. Therefore, Jay, a military response is the only one that's going to work. Just like Gideon. Did Gideon say, Bring the town fathers here, and we're going to draft some legislation, and we're going to go down to the courthouse, and we're going to invite the Amalekites and the Midianites down, and we're going to address a jury and present our arguments, and we're going to get a judgment against the Midianites. Folks, read chapter 6 and 7 of Judges, and you'll see there's nothing in there about a political process fixing a damn thing. What it takes is men with swords and spears, or the equivalent in modern day terms, meaning it takes force, because criminals only understand one thing, force. They wouldn't be criminals if they believed in the law, so obviously the law means nothing to them. They're lawbreakers, they are traitors, they are criminals. The only thing that you do with a criminal is present force. So our Gideon force will have to be the commanders, and then we'll have our army of men of the cities and men of the counties, men of the townships, and we will form tribunals that we will bring these people. When they come into our county, there will be a standing warrant against every traitor that we have just talked about. If you come into our county, you will be arrested immediately, and you will be put in front of a tribunal, and that includes judges, state and federal representatives and congressmen. It will include police officers, military men. If you're in my county and you've committed treason, you're going to be arrested. Everybody that's in my county that's Jew will be brought in for interrogation, because we know most of you are criminals. And so we're going to find out who you are, and then the tribunals will decide your fate based on God's law, not man's law, based on God's law. And if you're found guilty of capital crime, meaning kidnapping, rape, or murder, or treason, you will be hung immediately. There is no prison system in the free state of Florida. The prison system will go away, wardens will go away, the whole justice system will be revamped into a tribunal, the prisons will become just small jails in the local counties to hold people for trial. That's it, because trials will take place within 48 hours. All you got to do is get the tribunal, the local tribunal together. So just as our founding father said, justice delayed is justice denied. Look at the ranchers out in the West. The judge ruled a mistrial with prejudice. Those men had already spent 2 years in prison waiting for that sentence. So they are innocent. They were innocent men who spent 2 years of their life in jail. That's what our founding fathers called a crime. Just because the government does it doesn't mean it's okay. It's a crime. 2 years is a prison sentence, folks. We got people that have raped and murdered that didn't spend 2 years behind bars. And yet these ranchers, who were guilty of nothing except defending their constitutional rights, spent 2 years. That's not going to happen in the free state of Florida. I don't know about you, Jay, but I pray for the day that what we're talking about comes to pass. I really do. I want to see the deputizing plan. I want to see sheriffs who know their constitutional rights and duties and are lovers of our Father in heaven, not these secular, shekel, groveling pieces of shit. Excuse my French, because that's exactly what they are, groveling at the feet of the Jew for their little shekel to keep their damn job. They're despicable individuals, no character, no integrity, no morality, no substance, no backbone. Radamanthine men will change this world, and I'm praying for a Gideon and 300 men with a backbone that'll stand tall and trust in the Father to protect us, and let's change this world for better. I'm going to tell you, this world has been subjugated to some evil that's just almost unbelievable and despicable, and I'm sure there's a large number that are tired of it, Jay.
Oh, huge numbers, and another thing, when people say, well, yeah, how are you going to get that going without the citizens? I'm going to tell you something. The citizens in a county like this that would be eventually be the free state of Florida are really going to like it, because
You know, we talk about how the government's criminal, the banking system is criminal. So guess what? No more income taxes. You know, no more taxes to the government. Why would we send tax? Why should anybody? It'd almost be a treasonous act. Why should you send any taxes up to a government that is going to draft your kids and send them off to foreign wars and eventually kill them? Because let's not forget, our own government is better at killing our soldiers by about 600% than the enemy is. Hundreds of thousands of them have killed themselves. The enemy, or the supposed enemy of terrorism, has only killed about 25 or 35,000 men. Hundreds of thousands of our soldiers, of our young boys, have committed suicide in and outside of the military based on all the training they give them. So, as a moral person, I don't think we should be giving them income tax. We should start an accounting that would be like this. Yeah, that would be over with. No more income taxes. And, you know, if you're out on a loan for your place, well, you know, they're not going to be able to operate freely within this county. So, you know what? Forget that. Don't pay the bank any damn money until the bank cleans up its act. I'm not saying you get, you know, everybody should pay their debts, even if they are the Jews, in the sense that if it was gotten evenly, I do agree with that. We're white. That's just how we are. But there's nothing that says you can't tell that bank, go, well, when you stop supporting this, and this, and you flush these guys out, I'll start paying my housing loans again. But until then, on you. And if you want to come in here and take my house, you're going to run into the sheriff and all the deputized people in the town that don't like you very much. And they're not going to do it. Remember what happened out there with the Bundy Ranch? They backed down. They had the equipment. They had the men. They had the firepower. But they knew better than to try something, because the whole country would have descended into another Revolutionary War if one single shot would have been fired. It wouldn't have mattered if most of the Bundy guys got shot down, lined up with them horses. It really wouldn't have mattered who won that fight. It would have been on. That's why they backed down. That's why they're not going to come marching into some county when you've got, you know, 20,000 people in that county that agree and that are willing to be armed and protect everybody else in that county. They're not going to come trying in there. They're not going to do it. They couldn't get the military to do it. Now, on that note, it's not the military you got to worry about. It's these private military organizations you got to worry about. They are big business in America right now, and there's millions of these guys, hundreds of thousands of them. Look up Blackwater. Look up all these organizations. They've changed their name. Look up private military forces. They are huge numbers. Those are the Jews' army. That's the army the Jews are going to hit us with. The regular military, they're going to like most of what we're doing because they don't like these idiots.
You know who they are? You know who you just described? You described the Midianites, because the word Midian means troublemaker, somebody who's a thorn in your side. So the very word Midian was given to them because of their propensity to be troublemakers. So these guys are mercenaries. They're no different than who was the king of Persia that came against Leonidas and the Spartans? I can't think of his name. Cyrus?
Was it?
No, what was it? I can't think
Darius
of it.
Darius the Third? Was it Darius? I can't say his name right.
Yeah.
It starts with a D.
Yeah, Darius is the pronunciation I grew up with. But anyway, it was either Darius or Cyrus. I can't remember which. But anyway, he had mercenaries. Hundreds of thousands of mercenaries, and most of them were conscripted into service for them, which means they were basically kidnapped from villages and whatnot, and said, you're either going to be in the army and do what we say, or we'll kill you. And these guys aren't any different. They're doing what they do for Jewish shekels. So number one, you got to take away the Jews' access to shekels, and that takes away their power, because these guys, again, are mercs. Here's another thing about mercenaries. Mercenaries want to do what they do, thinking they're going to go home that night. Okay, most mercenaries don't want to die for any cause. They're there because they're getting paid, and they expect to go home at night. They commit murder and treason and do what they do when they know that there's people covering their back for the murder. Just listen to Cody Snodgrass, the CIA black ops guy that's a whistleblower now. He's admitted he was a murderer for hire for the CIA. All right, here's the thing, though. These guys are, as mercenaries, don't do what they're doing because they believe in a cause. They do what they're doing because they're getting paid. And they do not expect to have to sacrifice their life. The answer to our problem is some of these mercs need to go down. They need to take a place right along with the rest of these traitors and hang from the same ropes. Okay, you want to take shekels to become murderers and kidnappers and assassins? Here's what it's going to cost you if you come into the free state of Florida. When we catch you, Some of you will get away with it. We understand that. But when we catch you, you're going to hang from a rope within 48 hours. Do you understand that? So how much money that Jew's putting in your pocket is it worth for you to hang from a rope? Because that's the outcome of this campaign against us here in Florida. Do you understand me? You're going to hang from the end of a rope right alongside George Soros and the rest of the Jewish cabal that has been paying for all the mischief. All these protesters, Jew money in their pocket. These mercenaries and black ops people, Jew money in their pocket. These traitors within our state government, Jew money in their pocket. Do we see any kind of a common thread here, Jay? Is there any commonality that we're finding between all of these acts of treason against we the people in the state of Florida? Well, in case you haven't figured it out, I just said it. Jew money. Jews and Jew money, including the Parkland shooting in a Jew county with a Jew sheriff named after a Jewess who was against draining the swamp. How much more do you have to see, idiots, before you wake the hell up? This is an assault against our faith and our race. And by God, if you're not going to take a stand now, you're a coward. You understand me? You are a stinking coward. And I believe you are the lukewarm that Christ is going to spit out of his mouth when he appears. That's what you are. If you can't see it now, and if you're comfortable sitting on your ass while they commit treason and murder against the white race, the white children, and our population the world over, but especially here in the United States, then you are a lukewarm coward. Period. And it's time to take a stand. That's all there is to it. It's time to organize. It's time to take a stand. And we could even talk a little bit about, Jay, what it would be like in a free state of Florida. You sort of started it. And here's what people have to understand. Free state of Florida is basically libertarian. Isn't that right, Jay?
Yes, to this day it amazes me. God's law is amazingly libertarian. All these laws and rules that everybody's chasing around, that stuff will go away. That stuff will go away. No more drug laws, so many things that we spend so much money on policing. That's good. God's not worried about that. But God will hold you responsibility for your actions. If you get all stoned to do something damn stupid and friggin' hurt somebody else or somebody else's property, yeah, you're going to be held accountable for that crap. So it makes people more responsible. And it's the truth. And along with the good stuff, along with the bad, you know, or at least the law and, you know, the serious stuff we talk about, the amount of good it will do will be amazing. You know, this place will be the closest thing white people have had to a utopia in a long time. It'll be a place where there's not going to be all these corporations and business rules and all that, you know. We're not going to have any of that kind of stuff. If you can invent something, if you can create it, we'll make it as easy as possible for you to patent that and have it, and it'll be yours. And, you know, no more degenerate art, and no more idiots running everything, and colleges. Oh, my God. Colleges will pretty much be out of business. We'll go back to friggin' apprenticeships the way it should be. The way
yes.
It should be. And, you know, people that are coming up, one, you can get rid of your college loans. Forget them. You were suckered in by the Jew system. You got a college loan. You're not paying that back. Screw that. As soon as we have the freedom to stay in Florida, you're off that. You know, you're not going to worry about that no more. But the problem is you probably don't have any skills still. Because most people that went to college right now realize that they don't have any skills that they can market. They got a bachelor's degree and God knows what, but it's generally not doing them any good. Because we got to get back to the apprenticeships, and that'll take a lot less time. I mean, think about it. You were in the nuclear industry. If you had to, imagine if at your age you were still doing that. We didn't have this best we were in right now. You were still doing that. You had all your expertise, and once you got to a certain age, it said that, okay, now you're allowed to take on 3 to 4 students, and they're going to pay you half, even a quarter of what they would have paid a 4-year university. How long do you think it would take you to take those guys and train them? And you can have them any way you want. If you want them to live with you day by every day and work with you, you can have them as much as you want. How long do you think it would take you to teach those guys the things that you know about how to work in nuclear power and how to understand those things? I know it's a little out of date. It's been a while since you did it. But still, imagine if it was that day and age. How long would it? You'd probably be a quarter of the time they would waste in college. And they would walk away with real knowledge.
Well, you know, I actually lived what you're talking about. I was in a 4.5-year apprenticeship program for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers to learn my trade. But the reason it was 4.5 years is because I learned it on the job. It wasn't 4.5 years of sitting on my ass in a classroom. I worked. In fact, we worked 7 days a week, mostly 12 hours a day for most of that 4.5 years. So I was doing the job and learning the job at the exact same time. And I had homework to do, by the way. So I was working a 6 to 7 day a week job and had homework when I got home. And again, 4.5 years. But how long would it take if I actually sat down a group of people, you know, where I lived at as well? It was called the United States Military. They sent me to Keesler Air Force Base in the SETS program. And I went to school 6 hours a day. We marched in the second shift. So we marched in formation at just before noon, and we marched from class to go home at night around dinner time. So every day for 6 days or 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, and my training was over, I think it was 8 or 9 months, and I was fully competent to work on B-52 bombers. And I was an honor student. So again, 6 to 8 months, fully trained in electronics basics and in the specialized equipment status, which is the SETS program, where you actually learn the very equipment that you're going to work on in the, on the bomber. So again, what you've said is absolutely true. And I lived it. I proved it's right, because the Air Force had no incentive in keeping me in a classroom. They were losing money with me in a classroom. So they developed a program to bring you up to speed quickly, whereas our college system and university system is just the opposite. Just like our medical system, it's designed to keep you sick because that's where the money is. And the Air Force, even in the hospital in the Air Force, I learned a lesson, because they have no incentive to keep you in that hospital bed. So they had all kinds of things to get you through surgeries and back up on your feet and out the door as quickly as possible. They didn't baby you and keep you medicated and keep you flat on your back, because they know that takes longer to heal. Instead, the day after surgery, and sometimes the day of surgery, you were up walking around because it promotes healing. Yeah, it hurts like hell, but it promotes healing. And that's what their job was, to get you out the door. You see the difference between incentive. I said it for years, Jay. Everybody on this earth works by incentive. If you take the incentive away, they don't do anything. And if you pervert the incentive, such as the medical profession, when the incentive was to keep you healthy, much like the Oriental countries, where the doctor gets paid as long as you're healthy, if you get sick, he does not get paid. Guess what? Their medical programs work a hell of a lot better than ours. Same thing in the military. The incentive was to get you trained quickly, and when you went to the hospital, to get you out the door quickly. Completely the opposite in the civilian world, where sitting you in a classroom for a long time, where you can be indoctrinated, you can be worn down, and you can be turned into a zombie doing whatever the state bids. Completely opposite. So they take their time. It doesn't take 12 years to train you, to give you knowledge. That's bullshit. That doesn't take that long. And same thing with university. It's a garbage. You look at vo-tech schools. You look at technical schools. They don't do it that way. Why? Because it doesn't work. It just creates a brain dead zombie, and it's a waste, a giant waste of time and money. And let me throw another. Yeah, the time is right. I'll give it back to you in a second. I want to throw one more in here for you.
Go ahead.
And here again, from life experience. Now, Jay said that a lot of these things we do. Well, we were talking about the driver's license thing, okay, and insurance and all that stuff. I went 25 years without insurance or a driver's license. 25 years. I did not do it with the idea of trying to get caught so I could go in there to the common law and fight the system, because I learned a long time ago the current Jewish-run criminal court system could care less about the Constitution, the common law, and even just plain old right and wrong. They don't give a crap about that. I did it because I thought it was morally wrong, because in 1984, the state of Ohio passed a law that said you had to give your Social Security number. Because up till then, you didn't have to. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And so I let my plates expire. I let my license expire. And from that point on, for 25 years, I did not get car insurance. I did not get registration. I did not get a driver's license for 25 years. Now, my point is, during that 25 years, I didn't have a single accident. I didn't have a police officer pull me over a single time. And why? Because I was the safest driver on the road. Why was I the safest driver? Because I didn't want any headaches. My incentive was to drive the speed limit, to behave myself, and not get into any kind of accident. Because if I had to pay anything or give up any free time, it was going to be mine. Not an insurance company, not somebody else. It was going to impact me personally. I personally had to be responsible. I'm going to tell you, Jay, and all of my family can attest to this. I was the safest operator of a car on the road. My car lights all worked. I never went over the speed limit more than 5 miles an hour. I didn't go out in bad weather. I obeyed all the traffic signals and signs. I was courteous on the road. Why? Because it was personally going to cost me if I didn't. So does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. And just something else I wanted to mention, you know, an apprenticeship system based on elders that have reached a level of expertise are able to train people. You know, they would have to be in their 30s, 40s, you know, been in for a long time, have a real name for themselves to be able to train individuals. Let's say they, you know, on a cultural sense, what effect that would have on a cultural level for the people that lived in the free state of Florida would be pretty epic, because one, it would bring respect back for elders. People would understand what it is to respect elders and to understand that what's important about being an elder, what is the responsibilities of an elder. Secondly, you know, I know a lot of guys that are in their 40s, 50s, thinking about retirement, and they're looking and they're trying to judge their 401k, and they're like, oh, man, you know, I'm not going to have enough to buy a boat and all these other things. Well, if you had the ability to take your skill, your professional level at that, and take on, let's say, 4 students, and let's say, however long you could train them, let's say it takes you 2 years to train them up to your level of expertise. After they're out for a year, as long as they don't screw up, whatever, as long as they get a new job based on your name, because it's your name that's following them around. Not so much that, yeah, I got, you know, if they're not getting a diploma, they're getting, hey, I was trained by Pastor Dan and how to use nuclear physics. And guys would go, okay, well, that guy does know something about it. All right, I'll give you a chance on the job site. Come on in. If that guy makes it a year without getting into any trouble and he passes after a year, then those 4 individuals will pay you a quarter of what it costs to go to college in one lump sum. Well, that would be about, say now, about $30,000 for a 4-year degree running right now. And these are rough estimates. So it'll be about $8,000 times 4. And you would just get that in one lump sum. And then if you wanted to, you could take on 2 or 3 other students. That's how you could build up your money for retirement right there, is by training the youth as a professional. And on a cultural level, from young kids, they would respect that. They would go, man, I got to get out of trouble and I want to work hard when I'm young, because then I can be an elder when I'm older. And if it takes you that little amount of time to learn a skill like that, you could learn 2 other skills. You could be a mechanic, a master machinist, and a nuclear technician if you just wanted to spend the time and effort to work at it. And by the time you were in your 30s and 40s, you could take on 3 or 4 students, and you could make you a great little nest egg to retire on. And honestly, on a cultural level, not only would it be benefit for the economy, but on a cultural level, it would benefit the whole society. People would have an expectation to it. And people would want to come from good families, because you wouldn't accept some kid to train that didn't come from a family, came from a messed up background. You'd be like, nah, I'm not accepting you. So that would encourage families to stay tighter together, because that's the only
way that guy could tell if you're worth a damn, if he wants to take you on as a responsibility. Well, who's your family? Who'd you come from? What's your father's last name? Let me look into him to find out if you're worth bringing on board or if you're just some idiot troublemaker.
Yeah,
and I was just throwing that out there as a greater benefit to the Free State of Florida. All these little changes that might seem financial, they will affect us as a cultural whole better.
Yeah, amen. Well, the main thing of it is, in some of the comments the people here at Eurofolk Radio are putting in there applying to what we're talking about, and they're making good comments. First of all, there is no central taxation. That's ridiculous. No income tax, no property tax, no corporate taxes to speak of. Very little taxes because you got very little government. Government is local. That's what the libertarians talk about. Now, somebody said that on a show I said I was a libertarian. I believe that's a misnomer. I don't ascribe to any organization whatsoever other than the body of Christ, the Ecclesia. So I may have said I'm libertarian in my views because I am, but that doesn't mean I'm a part of the Libertarian Party. No, I'm not. I don't belong to any party. So, but I do believe that they have a very good platform in the idea that all government should be local and non-intrusive, as much freedom to the people as you can possibly give. And again, the emphasis of our free state would be based on Bible law. So what are our police officers going to do in the free state of Florida? They're going to maintain the peace the way they did when I was a boy. They were called peace officers. And as long as you're not disturbing the peace of your neighbors, you don't see a police officer even around. And they have no jurisdiction and no right. Okay, if a neighbor files a complaint at the courthouse, now you do just like the Bible says. If you have you don't have a defendant, you have an accuser and accused. So you bring an accusation against the neighbor, it's the job of the government to establish a proper place to hold trial where the accused and accuser can come in. They don't need a lawyer, you don't need any of this other gibberish and hogwash. You just come in and present your evidence in front of a body of citizens called a jury. There's a referee behind the bench. He's not a judge. He's a referee. That's his only job. He could be a plumber, an electrician, could be anybody. Doesn't need to be trained in the law even, because a referee just maintains decorum in the courtroom. That's it. The jury asks the questions. The jury decides guilt or innocence. The jury decides punishment. So you have the accused and the accuser on equal footing. They can bring anything they want, any testimony they want, any evidence they want. No damn Jewish trained judge sitting there deciding that's not admissible, this is admissible. I mean, what better way to orchestrate an outcome that you want than if you can say who can testify and who can't, what they can say and what they can't? Does Yahweh condone that? Absolutely not. The courtroom is a completely open forum. It's the jury. It is the body of people from the community that know you that will decide what's admissible and not, whether they'll believe it or not, et cetera, et cetera. Not a bunch of brain-dead, overly corrupt, overpaid, pompous asses called bureaucrats. That's why we're swimming in corruption, because we've allowed the wicked to rise to the top, and it's time for the righteous to take a stand. You can't sit any longer. And here's why, folks. People say, well, why are you saying that now, Dan? Well, take a look around you, folks. This earth can't take any more criminality. Our water is polluted. Our air is polluted. Our courts are polluted. Our banking is polluted. Our government is polluted. Our schools are polluted. Our churches and community centers are polluted. I dare anybody to call in and tell me what part of our society is not polluted with the corruption and the stench of the wickedness that we have in our world today. You tell me what part of our society is not feeling the effects of the corruption that stinks to high heaven. The Bible uses the term that the stench of our sin has reached the nostrils of the King of Kings. The stench of our criminality, the sin. I like that quote. I don't have it in front of me, by the Romanian that was known. I think his nickname was Iron Eagle back in about 100 years ago, maybe not quite that long ago. But he basically said that, to paraphrase it, the Jews are like mosquitoes, and they live in the swamp of our sins. Every nation will have as many Jews invade it and perform the wicked things that they do in direct correlation to the amount of sin, because they live in the swamp of our sin. It's exactly what we said at the beginning of the program, as it says in Judges chapter 6 and 7. And many other stories in the Bible talk about the fact that we moan and we groan. The Israelites were moaning and groaning. The white people were moaning and groaning. Oh, woe is me. I've got too many taxes. I've got too much criminality. They're killing my children in school and blah, 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 blah. But you don't take any responsibility. That's the problem. And you worship false gods. You ask the gods of the courts and the gods of government to solve your problems for you. You want to take no responsibility for what's going on. None. You're just like the Israelites of old. You sit there and you bitch and you moan, and you don't want to look in the mirror at the actual culprit. Because if you'd stop worshiping these damn Jews, stop paying them, if you'd boycott their businesses, boycott them, boycott their synagogues, boycott the criminals in government with Jewish names, and organize to throw these people out of our country. The founding fathers said that they should never be allowed in here. Did you know that? George Washington, Ben Franklin, all of them. They knew. They had come from Europe. They saw what the Jews did to the European nations. They had firsthand knowledge. They're not stupid like our people today. They hadn't been brainwashed with electronic media. They actually studied. They understood history. And they knew the Jew was at the bottom of all of the mishaps in Europe to the white race. So when they came here for a new beginning, the new Jerusalem, they made it quite clear that the Jews were not included amongst our people. And here's another thing, Jay, that so many people make a big mistake about. Do not, and I repeat, do not ever equate a Jew to a white man or woman. They are not. They never have been white. They never will be white. They are aliens to us, just as the Apostle John said in his writings about himself and the Christ. And if you don't believe me, go get Thayer's Greek lexicon, because that's exactly what it says. The apostles and Christ considered the Jews of that day to be aliens, both by religion and by race. Aliens. They are not of us. They hate us. They are destroying us because of our ignorance and our cowardice. Back to you, Jay.
Yeah, you're right. It's right there in front of us. And just to give people an idea of it's corrupt all the way down to its lowest levels. Law enforcement, if I happen to have any guys out there listening that are just regular officers on the street that might be listening to this right now, I'm going to tell you something. Law enforcement is a cult. It really is. We're a cult. We have a religious doctrine, the law, that, and we have a caste system. It's kind of like judges are bishops, state's attorneys are priests, and law enforcement's monks. We're just monks running around. And depending on where you are in the caste system, it also shows how much knowledge you have of this book. In a statute book, I don't care what state you're in, is this great big fat thing that reads like 1980 stereo instructions. There's so many laws for so much stupid crap in there, it's outrageous. And the average citizen doesn't have a clue about that. Most law enforcement, and how we get most of our arrests, is based on citizen ignorance. It's the fact that they don't realize, shut up, you shouldn't talk to us, and they do. They're like, okay, well, I'll talk to you after you read them the rights. It's like, you know, sometimes I sit there and I'm like, no, and even though I know I'm probably dealing with a criminal in my mind, I'm almost like, don't talk to me, you idiot. And it's sick. I hate that part of doing law enforcement, is that the idea is, yeah, we're getting, it's a Jewish thing to get in people's heads
and mind screw them to get them to tell you things they normally wouldn't tell you if they were smart enough to realize what it was they were about to do. And law enforcement, we're a cult. We're a cult. We have special uniforms that we wear. We tend not to, once you become a member of this cult, you tend to distance yourself from, old friends and, you know, family members just because, how you can't have conversations with them about what you do on the job. They don't understand. You end up hanging out with people that just are in that cult. I'm telling you, anybody out there listening, look at a definition of a cult and then take a close look at modern law enforcement. Oh, yeah, modern law enforcement's a cult. And how we got that way is, I've mentioned it before, Ditka. Anybody listening, go look up Ditka, and that'll explain a lot about how we got to where we're at in citizen law enforcement now. Ditka stands for Do Not Interfere, Call the Authorities. And basically, we took away citizens' rights. I mean, in the free state of Florida, another reason you'd have very little law enforcement is because the law enforcement guys out there would be professionals at what really is law enforcement. What really is law enforcement is that good old Sherlock Holmes style stuff. It's when your house gets burglarized and you need somebody to come in and actually use all those skills to try to figure out who took your stuff. When you don't have the answers to it, we don't have somebody, and that's true good law enforcement. You would have a few guys like that that would professionalize in that thing. They would be the best of the best, but as far as every citizen's out there, it would be your responsibility to, if you see a crime happening, to do something about it. And I would say in the free state of Florida, we're going to have to worry about Jewish terrorism and all kinds of weird stuff they would be trying to do to, undermine our authority and undermine our power within our own nation. So, yeah, everybody, every citizen needs to be armed. And personally, I think not just with pistols. They need to be armed and they need to be alert and watching at all times. And if you see a crime happen in front of you, go get involved in it. And if it turns out that you made the wrong decision, you'll be protected on it. It's kind of like, I would love to see a law or a rule that would be like if whoever fires first in a shooting is most likely the bad guy. Whoever pulls their gun out and pulls the trigger first is most likely, not always, but if they're not already dressed in cop uniform, and even then, but, on average, whoever pulls the gun out and fires first is most likely the aggressor and the bad guy. So as a citizen of the free state of Florida, if you happen to be driving down the road and you look over and two guys are having an argument, and all of a sudden one of them pulls out a gun, shoots, and the other one, and let's say he misses, and so that guy pulls out his gun and shoots, well, because you saw the first shots taking place, you have the right to get involved, go to your trunk, get your rifle out, and shoot the guy who shot first. And let's say it turns out that that was the good guy. That was the law enforcement guy. Well, you won't be held responsible for that. The idiot that freaking caused that guy to have to pull the gun, whoever's left alive that was the real bad guy, that's the guy that would be held responsible. And those would be the things in the free state of Florida. And trust me, that would happen maybe once or twice. And then nobody would pull anything anymore. Criminals would be scared to death to go anywhere near the free state of Florida, not because the cops are going to get them, because the citizens will take them out. And you'll have and after years of this, you'll have a bunch of citizens walking around with a bunch of really dusty guns, because nobody would ever try to pull a gun out and pull anything anywhere at the idea that, yeah, if I do that, every citizen out there is going to be thinking about this new toy they bought that they got in their trunk that they would love to pull out and shoot me with. So forget it. I'm not going to do anything violent. That's the way it would be, and that's the way it should be. And that's kind of the way it was back in the 50s.
Well, you know what?
And 30s, 20s, and 30s.
As you're talking, Jay, we have plenty of real-life examples that prove everything we're saying is true. When it comes to central banking, Iceland has already proven to us you don't need them. They threw 79 top bankers in prison and forgave the debt. And Iceland's doing just fine. Spain has gone over a year without a central government. Their budget ran out and there was no compromise. And so the central government was unfunded and it lasted over a year. They did just fine. So we have case after case after case proving that all of this nonsense that we're told that we have to have doesn't work, and we have common sense workable solutions, but it's the Jew that's just doing everything he can to stay in power. Now, based on what you were just talking about, Yahweh again allowed me to witness an event that happened in the state of Texas back when I was in the United States Air Force. This would be the mid-70s. There was a stolen car was pulled over by a Texas trooper, And when he got out and got up to the car, it was driven by a black guy from California. And the trooper, as he got to the car, the black guy stepped out with a shotgun and shot him point blank. And then he walked up to the body on the road and shot him again. The rest of the story is that a rancher and his son were hunting deer in a field, and they saw what happened. They saw this man shoot the police officer. The farmer took his deer rifle off the rack, laid it over the fender of his truck, and shot the black guy dead. Now, in the mid-70s, when we still had some Christian values and integrity in this country, that farmer and his son were never mentioned in the papers. Their names, addresses, nothing about them was put out there for any kind of public comment or put their lives in danger or whatever, because the Texas authorities realized that justice had been done, and why should they suffer? So, and the evidence showed that it happened exactly the way they said. They had a dead police officer there, shotgun wounds, and the rifle that the hunter, the farmer had used was the bullet that took down the black guy after the fact. So here again, can that kind of justice happen? Yeah, it's happened many times. Where I grew up in Pennsylvania, there was a girl that disappeared. The rumor on the street was there was a hermit living up in the hillside country of where our farming area was, and he was a suspect. Do you know what the local sheriff did? He organized the men of the community. My father was one of them. The men of the community brought their weapons and assisted the sheriff in scouring the mountainsides until they found the little girl. And as far as I know, she was unharmed. No details were given other than that she was safe and back with her family, and they brought the hermit in for trial. The point of it is the community took part in it. They didn't just sit and watch their damn television or punch keys on a computer keyboard. They got their rifles and they went into the woods. They didn't shoot him on sight. They didn't do anything like that. They could have. He committed kidnapping. A little girl's life was at stake here. Instead, they apprehended it and brought him in for trial. Okay, so this stuff we're talking about is not pie in the sky. We've actually lived it. We've got living examples, both in the scriptures and in life, that shows that common sense works. I pray that Bill Holter's right. Is 2018 the year that truth matters, finally, to the white race? Can they pull their heads out of their rectums long enough to see the light of day? Can the light of understanding finally penetrate the thick heads of white people? It's time, folks. Truth matters. The future of the white race matters. We have a right to defend ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something. The rest of the world is waiting for this, too, because they suffer from these Jews and what they do, too. The whole world is in travail, according to Scripture, waiting for the sons of Adam, the Adamic race, the white race, to become manifested. The Bible sometimes referred to us as the sons of God. If you look in Lamb's idioms of the Bible, the sons of God is talking about you and me, Jay. The white men who love Father Yahweh, who love truth and justice, that believe that we are in the year of our Jubilee. Pray Yahweh, this is the year of the Jubilee. This is the year of the reset. This is the year of the restoration of all things. Because the corruption has permeated through every facet of society, every facet of humanity today. It has been polluted by the major polluters of the world, the Christ killers. They're not even ashamed of being Christ killers. In fact, like the Jewess Sarah Silverman, she's happy and proud to be called a Christ killer. Bernie Sanders is proud to be called a Christ killer. Charles Schumer is proud to be called a Christ killer. Nancy Pelosi, Feinstein, and the rest of the Jewish cabal dual citizen communist Jews that have infiltrated our nation are proud to be called Christ killers. Because they live in a nation where white men have no balls, where white men don't even care, because they can go around and pronounce the fact that they're pedophiles and still the white man sits on his ass. They can talk about the fact that they murdered your children and had them for lunch and you sit on your ass. They sold your children into sex slavery for millions of dollars and you sit on your ass. Because a white man doesn't stand for anything. He's the lukewarm. He's the very people Christ is going to vomit out of his mouth. Because you don't stand for anything. You just occupy space. You're the lukewarm. No wonder Christ is going to vomit you out. I want to vomit you out. And I'm nowhere near Christ. You're deplorable, deplorable excuses for sitting on your ass while the world goes to hell in a handbasket. Is there any wonder? Is there any wonder he won't vomit you out? It's amazing to me that he doesn't push the button and end this experiment now. The only reason we're even here is that he's not a liar like we are. The only reason we even exist is he can't go back on his promises to our ancestors. Because personally, you and I don't deserve it, ladies and gentlemen. What we deserve is for him to push the button, to flush the toilet, and start all over again. Because this world could be a paradise if the Rhadamanthine men would take a stand and say, I'm not going to accept this bullshit any longer. It's time to put an end to it. It's time to round up the criminals and bring about justice. Not trials, not prison, not fines, justice. Back to you, Jay.
And the first step to standing up against it doesn't mean you have to get up and do anything crazy. The first step is we've kind of wrap our minds around nobody's going to fix this for us. You're not going to vote anybody in to fix it. You're not going to pass a law to fix it. Another country's not going to come in here and invade and destabilize the system. The Jews are not going to collapse their own financial system. They're not going to freaking come after your guns and give you an excuse. No, they're not going to do it. If we want anything done, if we want justice, if we want to clean these people out, we have to do it ourselves. I'm not telling you to illustrate how you would do that. Don't worry about that right now. Everybody just needs to come to terms with we have to do it ourselves if we want anything to change. Nobody's going to do it for us. And God, I personally think, is sitting around waiting for us to do something like that. You know, he'll back us up once he sees us freaking do make a move on that. But the first step is you've got to come to the conclusion. No more the CIA, the Justice Department are not going to go out and arrest all these. They're not going to do that. Not going to happen. There's never been an incident in history where the jerks in control destabilize their own system. They only destabilize systems that they want to take over. Once they're in control, they fight for the status quo. American democracy is designed to do nothing but prevent change, prevent anything from changing. That's what this whole system is designed to do, to burn out anybody that's got enough strength in them to want to try to change something by trying to do it through their system. It's to burn it out and make sure that person is never successful, no change will happen. Once we come to terms with that, then the rest of it will start coming into place. But everybody just needs to come to terms with that fact. None of this, well, when they take our guns, or when they open up the FEMA camps, or when the balloon goes up, stop it. It's just a design to make us waste our time. The Jews need us to waste time. They're scholars. Because as long as we fight things in their battlefield, anybody remember Sun Tzu's The Art of War, you're fighting on their battlefield. Courtrooms, their battlefield. Voting booths, their battlefield. All of this civilized way we have, their battlefield. Yep. But what is the one battlefield white people dominate? Warfare.
Warfare.
And what is the one battlefield that the Jews have not been successful at? I don't know, since Jericho fell? Warfare. They're the worst at warfare. They are, look up
there's CIA documents out there that talk about how the Six-Day War was like a tragedy of stupid moves left and right by the Jews. All the Mossad can do is assassinate people. The stupid crap they pulled on 9/11 was so freaking retarded. I mean, I understand you needed a decoy van, but driving around a van that's got an airplane crashing into the side of a freaking building the day after the towers go down, that was a little much. Jumping up and down and celebrating while you take pictures of the towers falling was some jerk-off, idiot maneuvers. That's because these people aren't good at these things. They can assassinate people. They can always murder people, but that's about it. They're not good at warfare. We are.
They usually pay other people to do that. You mentioned these contractors. They're typically our people that are doing what they're doing because they're misled and they're paid. Cody Snodgrass is the same thing. I mean, he did it because he was paid. He admits it. He was the drugs and the money. He was getting paid something like $60,000 a month by our government to assassinate and murder people. So obviously, he could get all the coke he wanted, all the heroin, any other drug he wanted, to do all, whatever. I don't know that he did those. I just know he dabbled in that kind of stuff at different times of his life. But the main thing of it was that he was trained to be an assassin, and he did it. He admits it. He's repented of it, and he's been washed in the blood of Christ over it, so now he can take it up with Father. But the point of the matter is that these kind of guys are coming forward admitting that our government, with our money, do this shit. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Our people need to wake the hell up. Huh?
Everything they do is with our money. I mean, let's think about it. What do politicians and bankers produce? They don't produce crap. They produce debt. They don't make anything. They make nothing. If we stop paying taxes, D.C. would fall apart. People would fall apart. They don't produce anything. All they do is take, but we give. I mean, that's the thing that blows my mind is, putting hurting on these people is not all that complicated. It's really not. Just stop giving them our money. Stop giving them all the taxes. Ooh, they'll freak out because they don't make anything. They don't produce crap. Israel doesn't produce anything but freaking crap. You know, they produce technology that nobody really wants to have to buy, but they force upon us because it's got so many holes and back doors and diseases in it. Nobody wants their crap. The Chinese steal everything from us, but such what they make, they don't make it near as good. I'm getting off topic, but the politicians don't produce anything. They take. They're parasites. They produce nothing. And without our taxes, they would be nothing. They would be absolutely nothing.
Well, even more so than the taxes. Yeah, even more so than the taxes is the idea that they're in charge. That's what they're promoting. They even teach in schools now. Did you know that? They actually have classes in our high schools teaching how to prepare tax forms and teaching the idea that the government is God. All right? You want to know why you should you want to know why you should homeschool your children? And again, Yahweh has led me through the things in my life for a reason. Three of my children went to public schools. Three of my children were homeschooled. So I got to see very clearly what the difference was. All right. I lived it. So people say, well, Dan, you don't know what you're talking about. Really? I lived it, asshole. I lived it. So don't tell me it doesn't work. I lived it. I saw it. In fact, I'll give a little bit of a shout out to my son. My one son, for whatever reason, I can't remember, we had to put him in a Christian school for the second grade. And I can't remember what happened. But so we went down to a Baptist church in New Jersey, and he signed up in the second grade. And they said, well, he needs to take some tests so we know, where he's at and everything. Jay, I swear to God, and I think I still have the paperwork, he scored – his lowest scores out of the 12 different items that they checked, his lowest score, if I remember, was pre-high school. Now, remember, he's a second grader. He scored 4 at pre-high school, 4 at the high school level, and 4 post-high school as a homeschooled child in the second grade. All right? So his worst was like the 8th, 9th grade level. And his best was actually graduate going into college level because he was homeschooled always homeschooled, and when he wasn't homeschooled, it was Christian academies, who are very, very success-oriented versus the public school system, which is a complete joke. Anybody that doesn't know the public school system is a 100% joke, is just completely brain dead. It is a joke. You either homeschool, and if you can't homeschool, private school, and if it's not private school, Christian school. But a schooling system where you have control. Or come to the free state of Florida, where everybody will have control at the local level, exactly the way it's supposed to be. The idea that the feds and the state government should be telling us at the local level what to do is a joke. Every county, every community will be in charge as it was in early America. It's none of the government's damn business. What we put in our bodies, what we teach our children, how we conduct our churches and our assemblies, how we govern ourselves locally, what we produce, how we produce it, who we sell it to, it's none of their damn business. And most certainly, our health care is none of their damn business. Do you see how they twisted us, Jay, on that particular issue? They got us talking they very quickly got the narrative turned away from the idea that they even had a right to do it, because the government was going to do everything they could to make sure Obamacare wasn't it. They got us completely sidetracked by saying that, well, we're going to at least try to make sure it's a mitigated form of Obamacare, which was a complete asinine joke. But what it did is took the minds of the sheep away from the very idea that, wait a minute, why is government even involved? How the hell did they get involved? Where do they get the authority? Do you see how stupid we are? Christ was so accurate when he said we're sheep. We are. We're just like a bunch of dumb damn sheep in a pasture field somewhere. Too stupid to even know a wolf is out there getting ready to jump on us. That's why the shepherd had to carry the staff, and why he had to be constantly on guard, because the sheep are too damn stupid. You got to have a shepherd that cares for you because you're too damn stupid. There's a wolf ready to have you for lunch. What'd you say?
I said you got to have elders.
Well,
good elders that are aware of things.
But here's the problem. Here's the thing I've told sheep for years and years and years. The Bible is very clear that we need good shepherds. The shepherds should be good, good guys. Okay, that's true. But here again, white people always want to be able to blame somebody else for their misery. I said, here's the problem, sheep. It's the job of the sheep to know who the good shepherds are. It's the job of the sheep to understand whose leadership you're following. And that's the problem with the white race today. Just like the sheep of old, they're not being responsible. They're sitting on their ass blaming everything imaginable for their misery except themselves. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Yahweh has leaders out here. That's not a problem. There are people out here with knowledge and discernment who know how to fix these problems. The problem is you. You don't know how to support them. You don't know how to follow them. You don't want to get off your ass. You don't want to get out in front of that TV screen and that computer monitor and actually do anything. That's the problem. Right or wrong, Jay?
No, it's truth. It's truth. You know, we've got to step out from it. And, God, the reasons for doing it are awesome. They're awesome. I like to mention the good stuff periodically rather than just, you know, the fire and brimstone we want to bring down on the enemy. But another good example, somebody made a comment. I read it about certain types of cars are easier to work on. I can't remember how it went, but this is where, you know, as soon as any free state of white nation is created, God and the Jews have fertilized the field of opportunity. Cars are way overinflated. Cars should not cost as much as they do. They're purposely overinflated. I've talked about how guns are way overinflated. Pastor Dan's mentioned many times that nobody cures any diseases, and the Jews have control of the system, so they're going to want to maintain nobody cure anything. Well, there's opportunity in that, the free state of Florida. I got a couple of gearhead guys. Hey, do you think you could design and create a four-wheeler that will last more than 15 years without the axles breaking on it and having to change 10-20 things? Do you think we could come up with a car that would be four-wheel drive and would be fuel efficient and affordable, that wouldn't cost, you know, as much as a house to frickin' buy? I think we could do that. And if we can come up with it, we're going to have something to export to everybody. Do we think we could cure some diseases, everybody? Do you think you could take some of these natural remedies and things people have come up with? Can we cure some diseases? There's a bunch of guys out there that are really into the Nikola Tesla shit, trying to make all these coils. Well, great, you're going to have all the freedom in the world to do it, and we'll give you access to every document that's left of the state of Florida that has been keeping hidden from you to try to do it. Give it a whirl. I don't care. Build a pyramid. Can you make power run? Do it, because the enemy is going to fight against all the things that we would create. But all we have to do is come up with any one of those, and we'll be rich. Oh, we're just going to export them to the world. The enemy will hate us. About time we come up with the best cars that last forever, or easy to work on. Even if we just make parts for vehicles that don't break every half a mile. I mean, I'm just saying, guys, I know that I got people out there know exactly what I'm saying. The field has been set up in our favor. All we have to have is that one white nation, and then we could fertilize the world. We could show the world what we're capable of, and we will bring the Jew system down from the inside out. Now, that's also why they'll come after us and attack us, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, don't let fear, you know, the Bible makes it very clear. He helps those who help themselves. And the Bible also says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We're about out of time. I got less than a minute. Jay, if you have anything in closing.
Yahweh bless everybody, and as much as you look at the bad things, look for the good things. Remember, as officers, as leaders, if you're listening to this, say good things. Don't just be pessimistic all the time. Talk about the good things.
Yep, that's a good good end note there. You're right. We sometimes do that. There's actually, and shout out to the governor of Kentucky in a recent interview when he told people, you're completely off the mark. Guns are not the problem. In fact, we have fewer guns per person today in America than we did 50 years ago. So he was very good at these reporters telling them, it's not the guns, idiots. It's the culture. And it's the Jew in our culture that's doing that. So, Jay, thanks a lot for being our guest. Yahweh bless your heart, and stay safe, stay strong, and we'll have you back here again soon. And folks, thanks for tuning in here at EuroFolkRadio.com. Keep us all in your prayers. And if you can afford it, send a little help to EuroFolk Radio. Yahweh bless one and all, and hallelujah.